next public hearing is subdivision number 2022-33, Wilson's Landing.
This is a standard subdivision to divide 57.6 acres plus or minus into 39 single family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County. The property is lying on the southeast and southwest corners of the intersection of Peterkins Road, which is Sussex County Route 317, and Springfield Road, which is Sussex County Route 47, approximately 0.15 mile west of Gravel Hill Road, which is Route 30. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 8. Parcel 38.00, and the zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, and bear with me, there is a list here, is a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan, a copy of the applicant's revised preliminary subdivision plan, a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, which includes a wetlands evaluation report. We also have a copy of the staff review letter. And then within the, in the exhibit booklet, we have a copy of the applicant's proposed conditions of approval. We have a copy of the endangered species report. We have the copy of the applicant's septic feasibility report. And we also have a letter received from the Indian River School District. And we also have the geotechnical engineering study. In addition, we also have the Technical Advisory Committee comments, which includes letters from County Engineering, the US Department of Agriculture, the State Fire Marshal, the Division of Watershed Stewardship with the state. We have a copy of a letter received from the Delaware Electric Co-op. We have a letter received from the County's Mapping and Addressing, which is the GIO office. And we also have an email received from Delaware Department of Transportation. And I would note, in total, we have three written comments, which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. Okay, the chair recognizes Ms. Pete, but first I want to thank you and the applicant for accommodating a little schedule switch today so that Mr. Hutt could be on his way. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So good afternoon, everyone. For the record, again, my name is Mackenzie Pete. I'm an attorney at the law firm of Saul Ewing, and I'm here this afternoon on behalf of Sharon Hart and Craig Walls of Wilson's Landing LLC, the applicant and owner of tax map parcel number 234-8-38. This parcel consists of two tracts that are bisected by Peterkins Road, consisting of approximately 57.6 acres, and the site is approximately 4 miles east of the town of Georgetown on the southbound side of Springfield Road at the intersection of Peterkins Road, as you can see on the screen. With me this afternoon are Ms. Hart, as well as Mr. Walls, and you may also recognize Mr. Robert Palmer, PE, President of Beacon Engineering and the project's engineer. Before proceeding, I'd like to just address one issue that occurred with the docket. I've reached out to Mr. Whitehouse, as well as Mr. Robertson on this. So the revised preliminary site plan was not posted to the docket properly, despite its submission into the record on May 10 of this year. It was submitted electronically and by paper copy on May 10, but was not uploaded to the docket. It has been since uploaded. It's my position that the plan was timely filed. On May 10th, it was also included as an exhibit in the exhibit packet as well that was filed with the county on May 24. I have paper copies of the plan that I'm going to submit, just so that you know which plan I'm referring to as I'm speaking today.
Okay, well, Ms. Pete, we apologize for the mix-up. I tend to agree with you. It seems like you did everything you were supposed to do, so.
And sometimes things happen.
Sometimes things happen, don't they?
And yeah. So, because this occurred, I've also been asked, and I'm happy to do it, just to briefly summarize the differences between the original plan as well as the plan that's been submitted and was submitted timely, as I stated. So primarily the changes addressed the TAC comments, which is standard, adding additional detail to the plan, especially the site data column. So specifically the septic feasibility study, which was received in June, resulted in changes to the plan. The entrance roads were reduced in terms of cul-de-sac lengths to less than 1,000 linear feet. The site data column was updated to include the county site plan number, current site area and disturbance acreage, acreage and percentage of open space, forested area, and impervious coverage. The minimum lot area of 20,000 square feet was removed from the plan, just to reference only the 3/4 acre, which I'll get into, that's applicable here. The reference to artesian CPCN was also noted, and the will not serve letter, which was provided, is also noted on the plan. The future land use map designation was added. The net density was added. Proposed lighting was added. Signature blocks were updated. Notes requested by varying agencies were also added to the plan. So that may seem like a lot of changes, but really all standard, just addressing TAC comments. Okay, so returning back to the regularly scheduled presentation. So the site is AR1, and the projects within the low-density land use classification, a rural planning area, as you know. And this project is also within investment level 4. So the site's surrounded by properties, all of which are zoned AR1 within the low-density area, with the exception of Wilson's General Store, which is a local landmark that you probably all know. And that's zoned C1 and has a commercial future land use designation. The applicant filed its application on December 23, 2023. On May 24, 2024, the applicant filed its exhibit booklet with the Planning and Zoning Office, which includes the exhibits that Mr. Whitehouse just referenced. The project proposes 39 lots as a standard subdivision on approximately 57 acres, well below the permitted density in the AR1 district, which I'll emphasize in response to a comment that was made that this is a max density plan. It's at 1.33 units to the acre, less than 2 units permitted by code, with approximately 20.91 acres of open space, approximately 36% of the site. Lots will be 3/4 acre in size and served by individual well and septic. And as the commissioners know, under the AR1 zoning district, single-family detached homes like those permitted here at 2 homes per acre on lots served by septic are required to be 3/4 acre in size. The proposed use meets the purpose of the AR1 district, proposing single-family detached homes at less than 2 units per acre, a permitted use in the district. The use is also consistent with the comprehensive plan as one of the 2 uses, single-family homes being one, agricultural being the other, envisioned in low-density areas. The commissioners may have observed that the project is under a water and wastewater CPCN controlled by Artesian. However, Artesian has confirmed that these services are not readily available. They have no plans to expand this location in the next 3 to 5 years. The nearest infrastructure is located to the north at the intersection of 9 and 30, and to the south at the Liberty development. Significantly, Artesian has also indicated that they do not object to the development proceeding with on-site individual wells and septic systems. The design of the septic systems will comply with DENREC septic regulations, and it is expected that they will have no negative impact, on the quality of groundwater or surface water. To assess the feasibility of on-site disposal systems for all the proposed lots, the applicant commissioned a septic feasibility study by Eastern Shore Soil Services. Their study concluded that individual on-site disposal systems are feasible for all lots outlined in the preliminary plan. A copy of that study is included as Exhibit H. Additionally, Eastern Shore Soil Services submitted a request to DENREC for a non-binding statement of feasibility for the project as required by applicable regulations. DENREC issued its non-binding statement of feasibility and found that the plan would be feasible for OWTDSs in accordance with the regulations, and a copy of that statement is also included as Exhibit I. Regarding access to the subdivision, entrances from both the east and west side of Peterkins Road have been reviewed by DLDOT, with the configuration approved by DLDOT as well. The applicant did seek a correction to the record due to a comment from DLDOT regarding emergency access and a supposed requirement for a shared use path. It's important to note that during the applicant's pre-submittal meeting, no such requirements were addressed. However, Jennifer Sinelli, a former DLDOT planner who is no longer with the department, reviewed the project and suggested, contrary to our understanding of DLDOT's policy, that emergency access would be necessary along Gravel Hill Road with shared use paths along Gravel Hill, Peterkins, and Springfield Roads. And excuse me, so not Peterkins, excuse me, yes, Gravel Hill or Springfield Road, thank you. And so in order to clarify this discrepancy, Mr. Palmer contacted DelDOT and requested additional comment to confirm that no SUP is warranted on any road frontage within investment level four, such as this site, and that the department does not support emergency access, but especially not emergency access that goes against DelDOT's emergency access policy. In response to Mr. Palmer's email, Kevin Hickman, Sussex County Reviewer, confirmed that DelDOT's position against emergency accesses has not changed. Additionally, since the project is located within investment level four and does not have contiguous sidewalks or SUPs, none would be required. So therefore, the shared use paths are not necessarily required here. Regarding the emergency access issue, of course, the commissioners may still require an emergency access, but the applicant would ask the commission to consider that any proposed emergency access on Gravel Hill or Springfield Road would be in close proximity to the intersection of Springfield and Gravel Hill. And this could pose a problem for DelDOT due to policy against accesses near such intersections, as it may interfere with traffic flow and safety along both roads. In terms of the project's traffic impact, DelDOT completed its review of the applicant's service level evaluation requests and found that the use will generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and fewer than 500 vehicle trips per day, considering the development's traffic impact to be negligible, not warranting a TIS. I would emphasize this point as well in response to one of the comments made on the record concerning traffic impact. In terms of environmental considerations, there are no wetlands on site. The wetland evaluation and approved jurisdictional determination report prepared by Mr. Kenneth Redinger is included as applicant's Exhibit L for your reference. In terms of endangered or threatened species, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has identified evidence of monarch butterfly in the area. However, there are no critical habitats on the site. Bald and or golden eagles were also noted in the project area, but they're not considered to be birds of concern. Regardless, further investigation will be conducted to determine the presence of any species on site, if any. Before concluding, I'll just summarize the applicant's 99-9C considerations, which are more fully set forth in the applicant's written submission. So first, integration of the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. The proposed subdivision will be integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape in the following ways. First, in terms of boundaries, the subdivision is bordered by residential lots, all zoned AR1, and this development is consistent with the surrounding uses and zoning districts. In terms of buffers, a 20-foot landscape and or forested buffer will be established along the perimeter of the property to create a transition zone into surrounding landscape. However, along a portion of the perimeter parallel to Gravel Hill Road, a 30-foot buffer will be provided. And finally, all landscaping within the subdivision will consist of native species, which will further enhance the integration of the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. Two, minimal use of wetlands per the Army Corps' dry land determination issued in February of this year. No wetlands exist on site, and this site also is not within the 100-year floodplain. Preservation of natural and historic features. The project will include a buffer, as stated, to preserve existing natural features, and there are no known historic features on site. In terms of open space, approximately 20.91 acres of open space will be dedicated to preserving open space and maintaining scenic views. Minimization of tree vegetation and soil removal and grade changes. The development will minimize the removal of trees, vegetation, and soil by incorporating landscape buffers and preserving existing acreage where possible, with approximately 3.82 acres of existing forested acreage to be retained and approximately 2.39 acres to be afforested. A landscape and or forested buffer is also provided for screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways. Source of water, as stated, will be provided by on-site wells. Based on a soil feasibility study conducted, as I just described, the property will support individual on-site septic systems, and pretreatment will be deployed for all systems to comply with Inland Bay's PCS nutrient removal requirements. Stormwater management and erosion and sediment control practices will be provided to prevent pollution of surface and groundwater. The stormwater management facilities will be designed to meet all local, state, and federal guidelines for sediment and nutrient removal. An erosion and sediment control plan will be developed and implemented as required by the district and DENREC. Provisions for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and to adjacent roadways include entrances to the subdivision, which will be designed according to DLDOT standards, ensuring safe access for vehicles. The interior of the subdivision will have sidewalks on one side of the street. Internal walking trails have also been provided in the site, offering additional pedestrian pathways for residents. The design of the roads within the subdivision will adhere to county standards and specifications, and then once the roads are accepted by the county, will be turned over to a homeowners association. And finally, the project will include street lighting to enhance visibility and safety for both vehicles and pedestrians. It's expected that the proposed community will cause current property values to remain the same, if not increase the values of properties in the area. The proposed subdivision will not adversely affect nearby agricultural uses due to buffers and other open space areas that separate the community from farmland. The project's not expected to have a significant impact on local schools, public buildings, or community facilities. The increase in tax revenue generated by the project will contribute to the maintenance and operations of the Indian River School System and will support the local schools without causing significant burden on existing facilities. The applicant has worked in coordination with the school district to determine the appropriate location for the school bus stop, and the location, as indicated on the plan, has been deemed acceptable by the district. Access to the subdivision, as I stated, will be from both the east and west side of Peterkins Road. The project is located near other residential homes and is compatible in density, home style, and land use. And finally, runoff will be treated for water quality and quantity in accordance with DENREC standards prior to discharge. Notably, the conversion of farmland to residential can improve the quality of runoff with the introduction of a regulated stormwater management system, incorporating stormwater facilities designed to capture and treat stormwater prior to discharge. So in conclusion, the preliminary plan complies with the code and is consistent with the comprehensive plan. The applicant requests the commission's approval of its plan, subject to reasonable conditions based on the record, and is consistent with its proposed conditions of approval that were submitted with its packet. That concludes my presentation, and I'll answer any questions that you may have.
All right, well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
I do have just a couple. So back on the DLDOT, they're not gonna require you to do the multi-use path?
That's either. Correct.
Okay. They don't normally require the emergency access. That's usually something that the commission, and I'd like consider that.
And there was obviously, yeah, just.
Because it goes.
It's not something that generally comes from DLDOT. It was a comment that we needed to seek clarification from on the record.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I'd appreciate it if there could be some consideration in looking at that, if Mr. Palmer could give that some thought. In looking through the paperwork that we're provided with under the, for the septic sites,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm missing something, the only comment that was on the one area was HUA soil conditions. Is that right? Or is there further information that I've missed?
There's a septic feasibility study in the packet as well as DENREC's letter as well. Do you not see that? It was in the exhibit specifically. It's, hold on. I'll tell you.
Because the one area that it shows for the letter that they sent shows HUA, which is not conducive at all according to their key. But that was the only comment that was on there, so I didn't know if there was another. So HUA is very limited, and the comment under very limited indicates the soil has one or more features that are unfavorable for the specific use.
Bob Palmer with Beacon Engineering for the applicant. The HUA, those are areas that are shown on the septic feasibility mapping. If you look at the last page of the preliminary site plan that McKenzie has provided, you'll see there are red areas that represent that soil classification. Those are the denial areas that Mr. Kate indicated, and we have all of the septic. You'll see there's green areas where we propose the average area of the septic system based on preliminary soil permeability. And so all of the septic systems are either sited at areas where LPPs or peat biofilters, and we got lucky and there's actually two gravity systems.
Oh, that's good. So. That was my part B of my question with that, with the little blocks that you had on the one that was online. Was that where the intended septic was proposed based on studies? Okay, that's all I had for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor? I was sort of confused
why we have 20-foot buffers instead of 30.
In this case, I think it's because this is a standard subdivision, and it's kind of one of the things we've cleaned up in this ordinance. It goes back to what was in Chapter 99, which only required 20-foot buffers, so that's why.
No further questions.
There's two different standards. That was sort of the issue with, yeah.
You did mention some area that has 30-foot buffers.
Along Gravel Hill.
Yeah.
One road.
But otherwise, 20-foot elsewhere.
Just while we're on that, and the proposed conditions.
Yeah.
Is the 30-foot all along the entirety of Gravel Hill Road?
It's only where noted on the preliminary plan.
Okay. I don't want the commission to say something that's different than potentially what's on. I don't know.
It is.
I don't remember what the conditions, if they were specific enough about that. It looks like it's the length of Gravel Hill, but.
Yes.
I think this is where we have it.
At least on SP 1.0.
For that portion of the property that runs, yes, parallel.
Okay.
Immediately parallel with the Gravel Hill.
Yeah, okay.
I do have one more question.
Thank you.
So speaking of the buffers then, what's the buffer shown for the homes that are along Springfield? Because that's pretty tight.
20.
It's 20, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No questions from me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Butler.
No questions.
White House?
None for me, thank you.
Staff, anything? No? Okay.
No.
Counselor?
None for me.
All right then, all right.
Thank you.
Ms. Pete, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2022-33 Wilson's Landing? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2022-33? Yes, ma'am. Come on up, give us your name, you may have the floor.
My name is Lisa Stokel. My husband Larry and I have lived on Peterkins for 42 years. My main question is I want a clear number of how many homes. I just listened to what they said with the 39 acres or whatever, but how many homes?
39 lots, ma'am, so uh-huh. It would be 39 homes.
So, well, that's one thing I'm going to ask, if you could reduce the number of the homes, because now going out on Peterkins, if you're going to have two more driveways coming in and out, we can't get out of the stop sign in the morning to go out to Springfield. It's blocked both ways. So if maybe could reduce that. And another question I had was, someone, the Wilson family, asked me to bring it up. There's a cemetery in the woods behind James Wilson's. Had that been addressed? I didn't hear her say anything about that.
I can ask about it, but.
Because if they're going to leave the woods, that's fine, but it is in the woods.
Well, they'll have to stay away from it, I can tell you that. The cemetery will have to be preserved, so.
I don't know that it's the Wilson families, but there is.
Well, it doesn't matter whose it is. Frankly, if it's there, it has to be preserved. So that'll be.
So you're saying they could get up to that many homes with the septics and the well both?
That's what they've proposed. Yeah, it appears so, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask if maybe we could reduce that. I'm not completely against it.
Okay.
But I've lived there for 42 years. I love it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not opposed to developing or someone else having a nice home and enjoying that road.
Right.
But it's being ruined now from the traffic. It's increased at least 60% in the last year.
Okay.
So it needs to be addressed.
Okay.
Would you like to show us on the map where you're located?
Where I live?
Mm-hmm.
If I can tell.
This is on, maybe if we could.
She's on Peterkins.
I'm on Peterkins.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just,
that's a good
okay. While you're up here real quick, hey, excuse me, ma'am.
Excuse me.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Before you run off, can you show us whereabouts that cemetery is?
It's in back of James Wilson's property.
And
yes,
you pointed out to us?
Yes, behind James Wilson that had the store. It's in the outer perimeter in his property, not too far into the woods.
Roundabout idea?
I'd say about it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So behind the tilled port, because there's his house,
yes.
And then there's the tilled land,
yes.
And then there's woods in the back.
Yeah, when you were first living there, you could kind of see some of it.
Oh.
So okay. That would be like here.
Right.
But it does need to be addressed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Looks like their intention is to leave that open.
Mr. Palmer, are you aware of the cemetery?
We are not aware of the cemetery, but we'll make sure that we do no harm and we protect it.
Okay.
We'll put a preservation easement around it as is customary.
Okay, all righty. Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir, come on up.
Dan Cleary, my property is to the south, Shedhorn Lane, 12.8 acres. My question is with the open land. Is the open land coming, there's 6 acres designated. Is this 6 acres that it shows on this, is this going to state woods or is that going to be demolished and then the storm retention pond comes in here?
I can load the site plan, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Yeah, put the plan up if you would. Try to answer your question, sir.
Sure.
She lives. That looks like.
I think it's page 13 on the last of your permits.
Yeah, he's going to put it up on the screen so we can all look at it together. Maybe we are. There we go. Now we got it.
There we go. It will stay forested or it's going to be removed and then turned into a buffer with 10-foot trees.
So if I can assist, Mr. Chairman, so this cloud line here, that's the forested buffer line as shown on the plan.
So the forested buffer line.
That will remain.
And then you, sir, you spoke about this doesn't qualify for a 30-foot buffer. Could you tell me what that meant?
Yeah, just so under the code, it depends on the way it's worded right now, what type of subdivision application and design it is. And in this case, it's a standard subdivision. And so that's governed by one section of the code that only requires 20-foot buffers. If it was another type of subdivision, with smaller lots, it would require a 30-foot subdivision. But I mean, at the same time, you know, the commission, if there's a basis for doing it, can, you know, put conditions on an approval.
Because right now, I mean, there's really mature trees back there, so I didn't know if they're going to all be removed. And then within the 20-foot buffer, they'll have to be ground. They're not going to be knocked over. They're going to be ground up and then created.
That's no. I think you're referring to what you heard earlier about the new ordinance.
Unfortunately,
this application came in before. That's just proposed right now.
But what the commission typically does is if there's existing trees, they put a condition in there that says that they have to be left alone, marked, silt fence on the outside of them so that they don't get disturbed.
Yeah, the idea would be that that there'll be 20 feet of vegetation there, mm-hmm. that whatever's there now.
And
should
then
stay.
Ms. Pete, she said that there's no wetlands on there, but if you look at some of the information with the existing, there's W's marked on there, I thought, where I would assume it mentioned wetlands. I'm not sure what page it was. Oops. So the existing swale, and then it says wetlands clearly on the paperwork, but then, as Pete said, there's no wetlands.
Well, we'll get an answer for that for you, yeah.
Okay, appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then I had one more with the existing stormwater runoff. So everything's going to run to the road where they are proposing to put in some new pipes. And the water is going to continue to flow east through the properties. Just from experience from living there, it's not. Everything comes to the road where it sits on the road, backs up through. My front part is 104 feet, and it backs all the way up through the culvert pipe up Peterkins Road.
So. We'll ask him to address those two issues.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Palmer, I believe you were listening to the gentleman's concerns. Would you mind elaborating on both of those items, please?
Certainly. So the W's that are referenced on the plan are the locations for the proposed wells. With regard to stormwater, we're proposing to replace the existing culverts that run under Peterkins Road because the swale that you see on the screen, I'll call it a root ditch. It was hand cut, hand dug, small depression to drain lands north and west of us. And okay. So we're planning to, that all of that runoff that the gentleman was referring to is all unmanaged. It just runs off the land as it is now. And with routing that root ditch through our stormwater system, we'll effectively be managing that to improve drainage conditions
How will that affect that gentleman's property?
It should improve it.
You think you're of the mind that it will make his situation better?
That's the intent.
Yeah. The law says you can't make it worse.
Correct.
So you do know that.
The law also says do no harm.
I understand. Right. So make it better while you're at it, okay?
Yes, sir.
Help a neighbor out.
So just for clarification, no wetlands on this parcel?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask that, too. Yeah.
So
the W's are for the wells, but no wetlands, just
correct,
for the record.
Correct. Correct. Okay. And if I may elaborate, Commissioner Mears, we actually had two wetland reports done. In the very early days of this subdivision, we contracted with Watershed Echo to prepare a general field reconnaissance, and there was very little site work done. Basically, because at the time we were planning no improvements in the wooded area, the wetland maps show that it's wooded, so he said, yeah, it's probably wetlands. But if you're going to go into the woods, delineation and jurisdictional determinations would be required. We contacted Watershed Echo a number of times in order to have the wetland report that Mr. Redinger prepared, and Watershed Echo wasn't able to meet our project objectives and deadlines. So we contacted Mr. Redinger, who's a pretty well-known soil scientist and wetland specialist in the region. And he worked with the Corps and DENREC to demonstrate that during one of the wettest years that I can remember, that there were some pretty deep holes in the woods that were completely dry and had no evidence of standing water. And so the Corps and DENREC agreed that this is dry land.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Right. Thank you.
I read that in them.
Sir, it's one trip to a customer, but what I'm going to suggest to you is that you and Mr. Palmer can certainly have a sidebar after we close the public hearing. He'll be delighted to address whatever concerns you have going forward.
And I would also add, as much as I respect Mr. Palmer's statements on that and don't have any reason not to believe him, this still has to go through all the agency reviews, so DENREC is still going
to
look at
it
and make
a
determination.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So, there's still that layer of agency review as well, if it even gets approved. So,
For those of you not familiar with this process, this is the first step along the way, because they have, if it in fact gets approved, that's really just the beginning for the people that are going to the various state agencies, and I believe the last count, it's 13 state agencies, I think, that now have a say over what happens. So, members of the public are certainly welcome to contact those individual agencies about this project if you so desire to keep up with, with what's going on. So, is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone on the commission have any additional questions? Yes, sir.
I'm just curious, Ms. Stogel, I think, if you could come up just because we got to get you on the microphone. I'm just confused where you said you live, or maybe where I thought you said you live, which looks like it's in the middle. Okay. Because when I went back and looked, it looked like you were smack in the middle of the subdivision.
Oh, it's
all
right.
Oh, okay. That's fine. You're one of them.
I live further down the road. There's like a vacant property,
okay.
And then we're like two more places. We have 2.5 acres, if that helps.
He knows where you are. Here we go.
Go up a little bit, Jamie. All right. Yes.
This one
okay. It would be this one.
Okay, all right.
Well, she was here.
This one has just been sold, so I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's, wanted to make that clear.
Well, listen, it's quite all right, because I'm not used to looking at my house from the air either. I usually see it from the front door or the driveway, you know, I don't dare to look at it from the air, so. Anybody else, there being none, any questions?
No, sir.
Okay, with that, we'll close the public hearing, we'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the day to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.